Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, grab a seat. Well, good morning. That was a strong good morning. I like that. I like that. Hey, if you're a guest, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm lead pastor here. Yeah, you're so kind. And we're in the middle of a series, and I'll tell you more about the series in a minute, but I have a question for everybody. I want you to do a little thinking this morning. I want you to think back, just whatever pops into your mind, the best teacher you ever had. And I'll expand it for you. Some of you are like, school. So you could expand it to the best coach. You could expand it to your best boss or a mentor. But just someone in your life who really took time for you. And you know your life wouldn't be the same had they not spent that time. Now, since I planned this in advance, I've had a chance to think about my answer. So I'll tell you about my answer while you're thinking about yours. I've been blessed to have a lot of great teachers, coaches, mentors. But the one that always comes to mind was my AP BC calculus teacher my senior year of high school. Right, yeah, that's too many letters, in case you're wondering. That's a lot of letters. Her name was Mrs. Carter, and she was such a great teacher that I scored well enough on the AP exam that I did not have to take math in college at all. So, yeah, it was a huge win for this guy. Yeah, but what made Miss Carter stick out was really a couple things. One, she was a complete expert on the topic. And so much so that she had this amazing gift because she understood it so well. She could teach it a certain way. And then she'd look and she'd see all the seniors in high school who just wanted to graduate from high school, not really paying attention, and we didn't quite get it. And she'd go, let me try again. And she just had this ability of, if you didn't get a concept, she could teach it to you a different way. And if you didn't get it that way, she could break it down and teach it to you again. And what I remember about her is she would come and she would sit beside your desk and she was kind and she would smile and just really, she found success when we got it, when it would click. And she never made us feel less than because we didn't understand it. And some of you are like, well, it was calculus. Of course she didn't make you feel that way. But she was very kind, and she was loving, and she enjoyed seeing us succeed. And still, unfortunately, Ms. Carter, if you're watching, I don't remember anything about BC Calculus. What's the saying? People never forget how they make you feel. But Ms. Carter, you were an amazing teacher, and you made me feel awesome. But I bring that up because we've all probably had great teachers. Maybe you've had bad teachers, and sometimes it's the bad teachers or the bad bosses or the bad experience that can help us understand the great experience. You know, maybe your experience is you had someone who was an expert, but they were so good at it they couldn't teach it. It's kind of like when you see professional athletes try to transition into coaching. Like, some athletes can do it, but like, take Michael Jordan. Like, when he tried to do the player coach thing with the Wizards, that didn't work. I'm convinced it's because he was so naturally gifted that he would just look at the guys and say, just do what I did. And they're like, if I could do that, I'd be Michael Jordan. Because experts, sometimes they don't know how to explain it to someone. Or maybe you had a teacher who was just kind of a one and done. Like, this is the way I'm going to teach you, and if you don't get it, there's tutoring. But there was no personal interaction. But my prayer is that as I've been talking, someone's come to mind. A teacher, a coach, a mentor. And why they stick out, it wasn't just what they knew. It was the time they took with you, the patience they showed you. You could tell deep down that they really cared about you. And it was that care, it was that comfort, it was that communication that made them effective teachers, that made them effective coaches. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We've all experienced this. But I wanted you thinking that way because it sets us up perfectly for where I think God wants to take us today. As we continue this series, When God Calls Your Name. And if you've been around our church for the last few weeks, you know we're in the middle of this series. And if you're new today, don't worry. I'm going to kind of give you a quick catch up to where we've been, because this is week 3 of our series. When we're done today, If you want to see how we got here, if you want to watch weeks one and two, then I'm just going to show you this. You can grab our app because we put all our content there, and so you can download that, and you can follow us, and you can see how we got to where we are because our series build on each other, you know. But don't worry. Like I said, I'm gonna bring everybody in. Because the series is really, it's a pretty simple concept. We've been, for the last few weeks as a church, trying to answer this question, how do I hear God's voice? And week one, we kind of tweaked that question. That's a question everybody asks, and I kind of tweaked it. And I encouraged us all to begin asking a more helpful question, a more clarifying question. Not, how do I hear God's voice, but rather, do I recognize God's voice? Because see, that question assumes he's speaking. And week one, we talked about the fact that he is speaking, he has been speaking, you've experienced him speaking to you your entire life. Anytime you've been in nature and you've experienced the awe of nature, the majesty of nature, the peace of nature, we talked about that is God speaking. It's not all he has to say, but it's a universal way he speaks to his people to try to draw us towards him. Last week, we picked up on the idea of God speaking, and we learned he speaks very loudly, very clearly, very directly through his son, Jesus. We talked about the fact that last week, Jesus is actually our connection to the God of the universe. If you were here, we talked about how 4,000 years ago, when God first began setting up his relationship with humanity, he created this place where the people had to go and perform these things, but there was a barrier and they couldn't get in. Only the priest could get in. Last week, we learned that Jesus perfected that system by taking the weight of all our sin. He paid the price with his life. He gained forgiveness. And then last week we ended it by saying how he now stands in front of God in his presence on our behalf. And we get access to the God of the universe, not because of anything we've done, not because of anything we've said, not because we kept a checklist, not because we performed the right way, not because we made other people happy. We get to do it solely because we've placed our faith in Jesus. And so he stands before the Father and says, "There with me." And because he does that, we now have direct access to the God of the universe and everything he has to offer. Now, if you're a logical, practical person, like many of us are, we kind of left it there last week with that, you know, Jesus played his role on earth, he returned to heaven, and now we have a relationship. But if you were thinking about it, he's in heaven, he's there now, and we're here now. So how does that relationship work? That's the question we're really going to answer today. Again, because I've been saying this entire series, and I was thinking about it, this is kind of a joke, kind of not, but maybe it's just because I'm a man. Or maybe it's because I only know how to think like a man. But here's what I know about men. We like to understand how things work. And the better we understand how something works, the more comfortable we are using it, and the easier it is for us to recognize what's happening. So that's why we've been talking about the mechanisms of how God speaks to us, because I'm just convinced when we understand how it works, it's going to be a lot easier for us to recognize when it happens in our life. So, the question I just brought up isn't an original question. If you were here last week, we went to Jesus, and specifically to a very intense night in his life. It was the Thursday night before he was going to be arrested later that evening. Friday morning, he is going to go through several trials with the religious leaders, and then eventually in front of the Roman emperor, the Roman governor of the region, Pontius Pilate. Pilate was going to sentence him to death. Jesus was going to die on the cross. He's going to be buried Sunday morning. He's going to walk out of the grave alive, not his ideas, not his teachings, physically, literally. He came back to life, spent 40 more days with his disciples, and then he ascends into heaven. All right, that's what he did. And so the Thursday night we're looking at was before all this was going to happen. And last week, Jesus told them, "I'm leaving." And they said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to prepare a place. How do we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's the connection. And so the disciples asked the same question we're going to ask today. "Well, that's great, dude, but if you're leaving, if you're going there, what about us? You have walked with us almost every day for three years. There were some missions they went on, so they weren't practically and completely together every day. But for 3 years, Jesus had been their daily teacher, their daily coach. He had been in their lives. He knew them. They could go to him when they had problems. They could go to him when he asked questions. And he's just said, the world's about to change and you guys are in charge of it, but I'm leaving. And I'm sure they were wondering, how does that work? It's the same question we're going to wonder today. Well, if he's the connection, but he's in heaven, how does it work? And into that moment, Jesus speaks. And here's what he says. He says, don't worry. When I go, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. And that advocate will never leave you. Which is kind of to the disciples. They've been with him for 3 years. He's leaving. The disciples have no idea how this is going to work. Maybe they think they're going to re-up every 3 years, every 5 years. They don't know. And so Jesus says, no. This is all part of the plan. When I leave, I'm going to send you another. And he keeps going. Here's what he says. He says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But to the disciples, he says, but you know him because he lives with you now, talking about himself, and will later be in you, talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm pretty sure when Jesus said this, the disciples looked at him with pretty much the confusing looks you're looking at me with, right? I get that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to press pause on this passage, and we're going to step out for a minute. And then we're going to come back to this passage, because Jesus was saying this in real time to disciples who hadn't experienced anything we know happened. Right? We can step out and we know what happened. We know he's arrested. We know he dies. We know he comes back to life. We know, if you ever read the book of Acts, at the very beginning of the book of Acts, we know that the Holy Spirit did come. It was on the day of Pentecost. God sends the Holy Spirit. The disciples and all the believers receive that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins moving. That Holy Spirit draws in people who don't know Jesus yet. Peter gets up. Peter tells them the truth of Jesus. 3,000 people become Christians that day. And the church of Jesus Christ is born. And it begins changing the world. And nothing will ever be able to stop it. We have been guaranteed success by the God of the universe. There is nothing that can ever prevail against his church. Now, we know all this because, again, the Holy Spirit was at work. Not only did he move through these men, he led them to write things down, like the four biographies we have of Jesus' life that we call the Gospels. We have them because the Holy Spirit led men to record the biography of Jesus' life. We have a history of the early church called the Book of Acts because the Holy Spirit led Luke to compile that. We have the letters of Paul, and we have the letters of Peter, and we have the letters of James, and we have the letters of Jesus' other little brother Jude, because again, God's Holy Spirit led these men into all truth, led them to write it down so thousands of years later we could read it and we could understand. Now, that is all a long way to say what Jesus is describing here is a concept we're going to talk about for just a moment, and the concept is the Trinity. And if you grew up in church, your heart just got real excited or your heart just got real scared. Because most people, even if they grew up in church and they hear the word the Trinity and you just kind of nod along and you've got a thing or two you say at parties, but you may not feel totally and completely like you understand what the Trinity is and what it means. And so we're going to stop down and we're going to try to understand it today again. Because I'm a man and I like to understand how things work. And I believe many of you do as well. And the more we understand how it works, the less mystical it becomes and the more practical it can be in our lives. So the Trinity is a core doctrine of the Christian faith. It is indispensable. It is a part of what we believe. And many people get confused by it. And so we're going to do our best today to kind of make it as simple as possible. All right? So here's kind of the core truths about the Trinity. Right, God exists eternally as three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, and there is one God. Like I said, simple. Right? The best way to understand the Trinity is to understand the functions of the Trinity. To understand the fact that God exists as three persons that all live in complete and total union and harmony with each other, right? So the first part of the Trinity we're going to talk about is God the Father. God the Father in the Old Testament is usually just referred to as God. The further we get into the New Testament, specifically after Jesus talks about him and people begin to understand the Trinity, you then begin hearing him referred to as God the Father. This is who most people think of when they just say God, right? If you've ever had in your mind, you know, the old dude with the beard and the white robe, Morgan Freeman, possibly, you know, that's who people think of when they think of God the Father. And the Father is indicative of his function. God the Father is in charge. God the Father is the commander. God the Father is who spoke the world into existence. God the Father is who sent his son on this rescue mission, right? So God the Father is the one in charge of the Trinity. If you were here last week, God the Father is the one who reigns in the most holy place. And so after God the Father, we have God the Son. This is Jesus. This is the person of Jesus. We believe Jesus is God and has fully existed as God for eternity. He is the one who tells us his function is to be subordinate to God the Father. He calls him God the Father. On earth, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." So he submits to God the Father. He allows God the Father to call the shots. He carries out God the Father's will. And God the Father's will was to be reconciled with us, to have a relationship with us because he loved us. So he sent his son to be the perfect connection to him. So if God the Father is the commander, Jesus is the connector. He is the mechanism by which we can have a relationship with God. It was through his sacrifice that we were given forgiveness for our sins. It was through the power of his resurrection moment. That's what gives us the faith and the confidence to trust that God can do anything in our life that he says. And he is the one now who is in heaven standing before God the Father on our behalf. The reason I can enter into God's presence and you can enter into God's presence has nothing to do with my behavior. It has nothing to do with your behavior. If I've had a good day, if I've had a bad day, if I have somehow been sinless all day, or if I have just been on a run of sin all day long. When I want to talk to my creator, when I want to talk to God, God the Father doesn't look at my behavior. He doesn't look at my past week. He doesn't look at my past month. He looks at his son and Jesus says, "There with me." And that is how we get to enter into the presence of God the Father, because of the connection, God the Son. And so the third member of the Trinity is called God the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to return back to the passage, and I'm going to let Jesus explain to us the function of the Holy Spirit. Here's what he says. He says, "He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." In other words, I'm going to send one who will help you. I'm going to send one who will teach you. I'm going to send one who will coach you. So if God the Father is the commander and God the Son is the connector, God the Holy Spirit is the coach. God the Holy Spirit is that perfect teacher we were talking about. God the Holy Spirit is the one who knows you, who understands you, who knows your strengths, knows your weaknesses, knows your flaws, knows your pain, knows your deep pain, knows that secret pain you don't talk about with anybody else. He knows you. And his goal is to lead me and you and all of us into all truth. Jesus tells us in another place that when we know the truth will set us free. the truth about the fact that you don't have to perform your way to God. That's already been handled. That should set you free. As we end today and we talk about some of the ways how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, that sets us free because it's going to teach us how to recognize when it's the Holy Spirit speaking and just when it's ourselves giving us a hard time, which is something we love to do. But the Holy Spirit is that perfect teacher, that perfect coach that will lead into all truth. But don't miss what Jesus says next. He says, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. Guys, this is why we've changed the question. We have to learn to recognize the connection we have to God the Father, and that's Jesus. It's like I said last week. He's not just a way. He's the way. He is the only way. And what Jesus is saying is the only way to receive everything my Father has. To his disciples, he's saying, the only way to continue to hear from me, the only way to continue is to place your faith in me, because without me, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a gift that is given to people when they place their faith in Jesus. That's why it's crucial that we recognize what God's saying and we identify the connection and we place our faith in him. But see, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He's talking to us now, but originally he was talking to them and they were nervous and they were probably had a bunch of questions. And what do you mean you're leaving? And I don't understand this. And when you understand how personal he's being, this next line will make an even bigger difference. Because here's what he says. He says, he's talking about these other people. They won't recognize him, but he assures them. He says, but you know him because he lives with you now. And later he will be in you. See, what Jesus is telling them is he's saying, when I send the Holy Spirit, he's going to sound like me because we're the same. To know him is to know me. Jesus had also said, to know me is to know the Father. To see me is to have seen the Father. So they reflect each other. And what he was telling those disciples is, I know you're scared that I'm leaving, but I'm going to do something better. And what I send back will be better. And let me tell you how much better it is. If you were here last week, you know, I already mentioned it. We talked about the tabernacle. This place where God lived with his presence. And there were all these rules and all these procedures and only one man could go in once. And then again, we ended it with Jesus being able to go into that place. But what does that mean for us? Well, what Jesus is explaining here is in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was where God's presence resided and the people could visit. What he's telling his disciples and through his disciples, he's telling us is that through faith in Jesus, when you receive what he's sending, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, we don't need a tabernacle because we become the tabernacle. Because of Jesus and because God has completely and totally ridded our hearts of sin, it doesn't mean we still don't sin, but we've already been forgiven for them. So we are perfect in his sight, so his presence can reside in us. He can live inside of us. He can speak to us 24/7, 365. He can work in us. He can heal us. He can change thoughts. He can mold emotions, and he can speak over our life in a compellingly clear way to push us towards becoming the men and women that he wants us to be. There's a way I can explain this, but you kind of got to go with me for a minute. How many of you are familiar with the originals, not the 7,000 new ones, but the first three Star Wars movies? You remember them? You remember the first three Star Wars movies? Well, I'm convinced that George Lucas had the Trinity in mind when he wrote that movie, because if you recall, our hero Luke needed a great teacher, right? And so he went and found Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Obi-Wan was with him. He was able to coach him and teach him. And then at the end of the first movie, spoiler alert, don't come at me later and say I was going to watch it tonight. Like, none of that. It's been out a long time. Obi-Wan Kenobi dies or disappears. I've been told there's a debate in the Force lair, whatever, but I don't care. He's gone. And we think, oh no, what's going to happen? And what happens next? We find out Obi-Wan Kenobi is no longer with Luke, but he's now in Luke. And he's able to speak to Luke when, you know, use the Force, Luke, whatever he says. Now again, go with me. I'm not saying it's the same, but I'm saying that's a pretty good picture of what Jesus was trying to communicate to his disciples. He was saying, guys, I know this feels scary, but this is going to be so much better for you. Because think about it. Think about the disciples. They had access to Jesus, but Jesus had chosen to be a human, which meant he could only be in one place at one time. He could only deal with one crisis at a time. So like if Peter and John are fighting, well, he's got to talk to Peter and say, John, you got to wait your turn. And so he would talk to Peter for a while. And so they had to wait, and they couldn't always get to Jesus. And Jesus had to sleep, and he had to eat, and he was tired. And so what he's saying is, guys, I came for a purpose. When I leave, I'm going to send the Spirit, and he's going to perfect this once for all time. And what he's going to give you is he's going to give you direct access to me whenever you need me, because I will be residing inside of you. You can pray to me, and I will speak back to you. I will speak over you. I will guide you through anything and everything you're struggling with in your entire life. What we've had for a little while in these 3 years face to face is going to be exponentially better, because every person you lead to Christ, every person that becomes a Christian, will have the same access to me and my wisdom and my teaching and my healing and my shepherding and my encouragement. Everyone will have the same access you've had for the last 3 years. Except it'll be better, because it never stops. It never ceases. We did an entire series a few months ago called The Good Shepherd, and it was all about the ways Jesus lovingly cares for us. He does that through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us and coaches us and molds us and shapes us on his behalf. In fact, a couple chapters later, here's what Jesus says. He says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. And I get that. The disciples were about to go through one of the most traumatic events of their life. They were going to see their king arrested, betrayed, killed. And so he's like, look, we'll talk about the rest of this later. And they did. And I say the same thing to us. We've covered a lot today. That's a heavy, weighty concept. And so if your brain is like, man, that was a lot, that's okay. That's exactly how you should feel. That's pretty much all we're going to cover this week. Next week, we're going to pick up. And we're going to learn about all the specific ways that Holy Spirit coaches and how the Holy Spirit molds us and shapes us and teaches us. But I just want you to know, there's more to cover. There's more to learn. And that's how Jesus kind of ends this part with a promise. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he's heard. He will even tell you about the future. See, this is one of those big reasons why, as Christ followers who are willingly listening to the Holy Spirit, we don't have a need to fear. Anything we need to know about the future to be prepared for it, he just said he'll tell us. Now, that doesn't mean he'll tell us everything we want to know. But we have a saying here, when God prompts, he also prepares. And so we can be confident when he prompts us to take a step, because he's going to tell us about the future. If there's anything we needed to know, we have it. And we can trust him, and we can obey. Because he is Jesus, and Jesus is going to speak to us through his Holy Spirit. Here's how he wraps up. Don't miss this part. He, being the Holy Spirit, will bring me, that's Jesus, glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. That term glory, it means fame. It means renown. And I don't want you to miss this. See, God the Father loved us so much, he sent his son on a mission. Jesus willfully laid down his life to accomplish that mission. And so when he sees that mission coming to fruition, ooh, that rhymed. I didn't even do that on purpose. When he sees that being fulfilled in our lives, just, Jesus is proud of you. He's proud of you when you take a step towards him. He's proud of you when you let the Holy Spirit lead you to forgive. He's proud of you when you look back and you say, you know what? He's really starting to heal me from the inside out. My temper's not as bad as it used to be. He's proud of us when we do that because it brings him and his Father glory. Because when the Holy Spirit works in us, we don't take credit for it. We give him the credit. And when we start becoming better men and women, when we start becoming better husbands and wives, when we start becoming better parents, when we start becoming better students, when we start becoming better friends, people say, "What's going on?" And we get to say, "Jesus is changing my life." And he, not we, gets the glory. And so it all works together perfectly. And the only thing we're asked to do is recognize and receive. I recognize your voice. I receive your coaching. I receive your correction. I receive your grace. I will follow where you lead. Now, how does he coach? That's where we'll pick up next week as we wrap up this series, When God Calls Your Name. We're going to talk very specifically, not about all, because I'm not going to limit the Holy Spirit, but many of the ways he speaks to us. And now that we understand how the full picture works, we're much more equipped to understand the specific ways he coaches. And all of that will lead us to the one goal we've been working for the last few weeks. And it's this question, hey, do I recognize God's voice? Because if we recognize God's voice, we're reasonable, rational people. If we know it's God speaking to us, we're going to listen and we're going to step. And so here's what I would say. If you're here today and you don't believe in God, someone invited you here, you're kind of kicking the tires of faith, man, not only thank you, not only am I happy you're here, you are bringing God honor by being here today. He's proud of the step you took, because you took a step to get to know him a little better. And our prayer is that you will keep stepping towards that connection, which is Jesus. And then when you place your faith in him, you will open yourself up to everything that he offers for you. You will open yourself up to the life he created you to live. And for those of us in the room who have experienced that, here's the question I want us to land with today. We're going to make this a little longer. It's not just, do I recognize God's voice? But specifically today, do I recognize it when he speaks to me through the Holy Spirit? Because I want to encourage you as we wrap up. The Holy Spirit will sound like Jesus. The Holy Spirit will speak with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's what that means. Any voice in your head that you're wondering, is this God or is it not? If it doesn't sound like love, joy, peace, patience, 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 kindness, kind. I talk with so many people, and the way we talk to ourselves is so unkind. And if you want to be able to discern your voice from God's, is it kind? Because a fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I have to do it all in a circle. I can't remember them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Goodness, faithfulness. Here's another one. Gentleness. Gentleness. Your good shepherd is a gentle guide. He's a kind guide. He's a loving guide. He never speaks over us the way we speak to ourselves. And so one of the keys of learning to recognize his voice is asking him to separate it from our own. Because he's a perfect teacher. And he's always going to speak with love and compassion. Because that's how our shepherd speaks to us. So as we come to our time of response, I just want to give you permission to experience the Holy Spirit. If nothing else, just sing the song and listen to the words, because it's about the Holy Spirit. We planned that in advance. If there's a burden on your heart, we're going to have our prayer team down front, because you don't need to share those burdens. You don't need to carry those burdens alone. That's why they're here, to pray for you. We have communion available. If maybe you want to just take some time and reflect on the gift the connection gave us. But as I pray, and then as we sing, begin to listen right now. Don't wait till tomorrow, right now. If you have a question for the Holy Spirit, ask and listen. Let him speak. And then next week when we wrap up, man, it'll be so clear all the ways he speaks. And you're going to discover he's been speaking to you even more than you thought. You've been listening more than you thought. And we'll leave equipped and fully able to not only understand, but to embrace and to receive every single thing our God wants for us, given through his Son, delivered by the Holy Spirit. May you experience him now as we sing and worship and praise our King. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful for your Son, for your Holy Spirit, that you love us enough that not only did you rescue us, but you want to take up residence in us. You want to heal our hurts. You want to mold us and shape us for the purpose you have prepared for us. We're blown away, Father. We don't deserve it, but we fully receive it. We ask your Holy Spirit to speak now in a clear, mighty way. And may we leave here changed because we recognize your voice. We love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's respond.